You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's an ancient way of life under 21st century economic pressures. According to the state's numbers, the food and agriculture industry pumps $101 billion into Michigan's economy every year. It employs some 923,000 people. That's nearly a quarter of Michigan's workforce. So what does the next generation of farmers think about the future of agriculture in our state? Mark Matthey runs a small dairy and cattle farm in Ida. He's the VP of the Monroe County Farm Bureau, where he's the young farmer representative. Welcome, Mark. Tell me about your farm. What do you raise and how big is it?
Well, we farm in Ida. We raise beef cattle, sheep, and chickens for both meat and eggs. We're on about 11 acres. We have about a half a dozen cattle, about a dozen sheep right now. We're still kind of building our farm and getting started. In addition, my wife has an in-home daycare. I also have the fortune to work with my dad and my uncle and my cousins on their farm, about 1,400 acres of cash grain, corn, soybeans, and winter wheat in LaSalle.
So you did grow up in a farming family?
That's correct. Both my wife and I did grow up in farm families, and it's something that we really want to have our next generation. We have a 2-year-old daughter, Lauren, something that we want her to grow up in with those same kinds of experiences that we did growing up.
Now, do you have another job apart from farming?
I do. I'm actually a civil engineer, work for Manikin Smith Group in Monroe. Actually do quite a bit of work with our municipalities. So company I work for, we do a lot of township engineering, road programs, utility work. We actually operate Dundee Wastewater Treatment Plant in addition.
Would you like to be able to do farming full time?
Oh, if the opportunity presented itself, that would certainly be my number one goal. My dad told me, you know, go away to college, get a degree, come back, get a job, pay the bills. The farm will always be here. It's something you can always do, but you want to have that. You want to have a solid stream of income. Over time, we're trying to build some equity, build some capital, and eventually look to expand. But right now, we're starting with a few livestock.
You use that phrase, if the opportunity presented itself. So what would it take for you to be able to take that step and embrace farming full time?
You know, one of the biggest, I guess, concerns that we see facing us is access to land and capital. Being able to, over time, build enough equity in our farm and in our operation to eventually expand and really get going on a larger scale for growing grain or really expanding the livestock side of the business. That's something that is one of our bigger challenges looking forward.
Because I've got to wonder, you know, you think of farming in this country, in Michigan, let's say in the late 1800s. There it was. There was lots of it. Today, you've got subdivisions moving out. You've got, you know, shopping strips going up. Is that part of the challenge, is that there just isn't the contiguous land that there would have been for, say, your grandparents?
Yeah, that's a big thing. One of the things that we had, you know, not too long ago was real high commodity prices. So that really drove up the price of land, especially when you're looking at large pieces of ground. That was, you know, a major concern. Land, you know, commodity prices have retreated a little bit since then, and that poses another challenge, you know, getting started in farming. If you don't have really strong commodity prices, you really don't have a good margin to work off of.
And when for non-farmers, when you say commodity prices, meaning what?
That's like the price for a bushel of corn or the price for, you know, chickens or cows when you take them to market.
So basically how much money you can squeeze out of that acre of land for whatever it is you're raising. So as that goes up and down, that affects your ability to be able to either buy it or else be able to get a return on your investment.
That's right.
And I have to imagine the equipment would curl our hair to hear how much some of this costs.
Yeah.
What would be, if you wanted to get into grain, which you say you do, so what would you need equipment-wise and what might it cost?
It really depends. You can go a couple of different ways. You could either go kind of older, smaller equipment and work a smaller amount of ground, or if you really wanted to go big, that's kind of one of the things about going big is there's so much technology in the business. The technology really kind of pays for itself, especially with the larger equipment. But to get started, if you were going to go and take your open checkbook and go write a check to the dealership, you're looking at a couple hundred thousand dollars easy. And that's on top of the land. You know, you got to think. And depending on where you are, land prices are very variable. And, of course, more fertile ground is priced a little bit higher. But, you know, you can't do a whole lot about that. And like you said, the development pressure, that's a huge thing, especially where we are. You know, we're situated between a couple of major residential areas, Detroit and Toledo and Ann Arbor. It's a blessing and it's a curse. You know, you've got that driving up the land prices, but at the same time, you have really good access for a small farmer to get started. A lot of people looking at that local food movement really want to know their farmers and know where their food comes from. It's a lot of opportunity, but at the same time, you know.
Who do you sell to? Who's your customer?
We actually sell direct to market. You know, we have a couple of consumers that are neighbors, family, friends, people that I know through work. And that's really our major clientele for the beef and the lamb and the eggs mm-hmm. and chicken.
When you think about the future of agriculture and of farming in Michigan, what do you see? Because you're the generation that's going to move it into the 21st century.
I think that local food movement is really going to drive a lot of the process. At the same time, Michigan is kind of experiencing a revitalization and a rebirth, you know, after the 2008 economic kind of crunch. We don't have that same type of manufacturing job, but Michigan has a lot of opportunities for agricultural processing, you know, taking that crop or that product and adding value to it through processing, either like Michigan's a huge producer of pickling cucumbers. You know, we grow cucumbers really well for making into pickles. So it's that value-added process, like turning soybeans into soybean oil, soybean meal, biodiesel, corn into ethanol. It's adding value to your crop. In Michigan, you know, we have access to all these great transportation opportunities. We're right on all the Great Lakes, Class 1 railroads, highways, interstates. We're situated right near a lot of the population in the country. We're really, really well poised for a lot of expansion in processing.
Is there a communal spirit, just for lack of a better phrase, among farmers from all over Michigan? I mean, I'm wondering, do those of you who farm in southeast Michigan, for instance, feel a solidarity or share notes or ideas with farmers from the Thumb or from the North Country or from southwest Michigan?
Yeah, it's a really tight-knit group. You know, there's so few farmers. It's less than 2% of the population. But at the same time, we all share similar problems. We might not all grow the same commodities or the mm-hmm. type of livestock, but we share, you know, in changing commodity prices, difficulty in moving your products to market.
I'm wondering, when it comes to jobs, let's say someone's living in an area where there are farms. Are there jobs to be had for someone who wants to be involved in agriculture but not fully jump into owning a farm?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There's a lot of opportunity. Right now, we're looking at between 50 and 60,000 jobs each year that aren't filled in the ag realm. You know, not just farming, not just mm-hmm. boots on the ground in the fields, but all of those processing channels, you know, applying fertilizer to the fields or working on these dairies, big dairies, picking crops and commodities, things like that. And a lot of those jobs, even like welding, repairing, mechanic work, a lot of those jobs are really skilled work, well-paying jobs. And it's something that we've actually been working on around our community as far as working with Monroe County Community College to bring a Michigan State University 2-year ag degree down here so that our students can stay close to home, get qualified to work in these really good paying jobs and fill some of those opportunities.
Let's talk about, because we hear that farmers, we've talked to farmers before as the whole immigration debate goes on. Yeah. Labor's an issue for Michigan farmers, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is a big problem. Not so much around here because we see a lot of grain around here, but in labor-intensive jobs, picking apples, picking asparagus, mm-hmm. these jobs that require a lot of handwork. The immigration debate, that's a big concern for Farm Bureau and for farmers in general, that we need to make sure that we have legal workers here at the right time. And that's part of the problem with the immigration program as it is right now, is we can move workers through the process, but if they don't arrive on time, you might miss that harvest window, or if you might not get a crop in the ground on time. And I mean, that's a big concern when you do a lot of your work in a very narrow window.
When you think of a really perfect day, when you are just in your moment, in your happy place as a farmer, tell us what that's like.
Just sitting on a tractor, heading down the field, just thinking about, you know, working that ground. It's that connection to the land, being able to have that connection. Just knowing that you're continuing that tradition of your family and your forefathers, that they did that same thing, and you want to be able to give the next generation that same feeling, take care of the land, take care of the water.
And you're hoping your daughter picks up on this family tradition.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's already, that's one of her favorite things, is playing with the little baby lambs, playing, feeding calves. It's a great opportunity. It really gives her a connection, and it's something that more people should, quite frankly, have that opportunity to come out and see.
Mark Matthew runs a small farm in Ida. He's the vice president of the Monroe County Farm Bureau, where he is the Young Farmer Representative. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
It was my pleasure. Really appreciate the opportunity.